Oh, Mr. Chiropractor, do it like you did before.
Alrighty then. Welcome back to the program, Gesundheit with Jacobus. It's kind of fun, some songs.
Right? Yeah, thanks for that. That's the first time I heard that one.
It's great.
It's called the Chiropractor Blues. Is it ever? Yeah, she must have had a great experience. Which doesn't happen often, right?
Right.
All right. Well, welcome back to the program, Gesundheit with Jacobus. I am your host, Jacobus Hollowang. Thanks for being here. Dr. Phil Cameron and Melissa Hamner are here from the Bozeman Wellness Center. And we have Dr. Dan Young and Becca Mayo Harrison here from the Country Doctor Nutritional Center in Cheyenne, Wyoming, who drove up here to be here for the weekend and help and see some folks. Good morning, caller. Thank you for holding on there. What is your name? How can we help you, please?
Jacobus, this is Joe.
Hey, Joe. Good morning to you.
I was listening to the post. You got the right people on today. Great. It's a great show.
Thank you,
but
Joe.
The reason I'm calling, I wasn't going to call. That last song you played brought that anger in me about Hollywood.
Oh, yeah.
these doctors will have a lot of business because Hollywood is a destruction and the cause of half the problems that these people are trying to solve from Hollywood. Mm. I aim at Hollywood for causing all the crime, the diet, the drinking, the divorce, the family unit. Everything is on Hollywood. And when you played that last song, I don't know where you got it from. Man, it brought back memories. And I got a lot of memories, believe me.
Oh, I know you do have a lot of memories, Joe.
But anyway, you're a good man, and I just hope that you live to be 100 years old to keep this program going because it's important to the people that don't understand what these poor doctors go through or specialists that give time to study and try to help the human being when the outside forces, like I say, Hollywood, that cause drugs and everything else is destroying what they're trying to do for the human being.
Yeah.
So anyway, have a beautiful day.
Thank you,
Joe. I'm going to go down there to buy that book.
Okay, that sounds great. Appreciate it. Bye-bye.
All right, my friend.
Bye-bye, Jothi. Appreciate it. By the way, the book.
Yes, sir.
You sent me a few books in the mail, and then we still have the books that are bound.
Yeah.
Are they the same? It's just a different delivery, or did you upgrade it?
Just a different delivery.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Because I have still some left of that.
Yeah. Oh, cool.
Cool. All right.
You know, Sam, he touched on it. It's worth commenting on, at least in my perspective, is that people think knowledge is power.
Yeah.
And really, it's not, right? It's more debilitating than it is empowering. The more we know, the less people seem to do. It seems, right? And they start playing that what-if game. Well, what if I do this and it doesn't work? Or what if I go to that person and it doesn't help? Or what if I go to Melissa and I can't afford to do it long enough? I mean, they start playing all these games, this mental gymnastics, instead of playing the game of let's find out, right?
Mm-hmm.
Come to the Gesundheit Nutrition Center, come to Bozeman Wellness Center today and really explore, get answers, right? Mm-hmm. The reason I wrote that book was not to answer questions. It was to get people asking better questions. That's the reason we put that material together.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
There's no such thing as a book that's going to answer all the questions, because everybody's different and everybody has different needs and their different perspectives and they have things that they need to be focusing on that are specific to them. And they may be unique. They don't fit that cookie cutter mold, right?
Yeah.
So, getting educated is one thing, but also experiencing and asking questions and then applying what we learn, right? I mean, a bucket's not made to, education is not meant to fill the bucket, right? You got to do something with it, right?
Yeah, yeah, it's true. Good point. I like the way you say that. And I have to say, and this is not cliche, but I've done the show now 19 years, and the amount of people I've talked to, it really teaches me there's a lot of things that I really don't know yet.
Yep.
And even though some people say, my God, you know so much, I said, the more you read, the more you realize you don't know yet.
Yep.
Because it's either, like we say, on these different levels. It's one thing to acquire knowledge about pills or vitamins or about health conditions. How do you describe it? What is it? It's another thing to say, what does this do to your mind and to you as a person, as a human being? Or what does it do to your actual physical health? It's a much more elaborate process that is not always addressed and that is not always, people are not seeking it out. But once you enter that journey, You don't have to give up anything. You're actually going to learn how to guide things in better lanes, or how do you call it? You make your road more clear.
And yeah. You gain more than you give up. Like exactly. when they're first starting on a program, they're so focused on what they might have to give up. But and that's why we focus on that why, because you gain so much more than you give up.
Mm-hmm. True. And what is going to happen is you actually naturally are going to focus your attention more on the things that make you feel better. Mm-hmm. And so you give up things, even in relationships. I like to read Dear Abby in the newspaper. And so often she says, you know, you try to change somebody else in your relationship. It's time for you to go do your own counseling. What can you do about yourself? How can you become a healthier person in your emotions, in your actions, in your relationships, so that you don't keep picking these kind of relationships, you know? And that is also part of the process. We have those great counselors and psychologists in this town who all have gone through their own trauma. And I think many people who do psychology, they often, we make a joke about it, they probably have their own stuff to work on, but they're passionate about it. That mm-hmm. is one thing that I see. They do this because they're so passionate about helping. They're so grateful that they found something that helped them. Yeah. And they realize now they're on the path, they're not finished yet. So they're learning as they go, and they try to give you hints about things that they have learned and try to apply that to your life. So, yeah. And that is what all of you in the studio are doing. You have all had your own story, your life experience, that all of a sudden you say, you know, I can do something with this and help other people. And that is that's the beauty of it.
Yeah. Viktor Frankl, Man's Search for Meaning. Mm. 9 days he wrote that book.
You know all these names. I don't know who these people are.
Yeah. Have you read it? Oh, he wrote it in 9 days.
It's a book everyone should read.
Everyone should read Viktor Frankl's mm-hmm. Man's Search for Meaning. It was about his
experience. Man's Search for Meaning?
It was about his experience mm-hmm. in the Holocaust camps.
Oh, I see.
And surviving that, and what he saw and what he experienced, and how guys would go out and people would go out, they had nothing. So there was people that, like, if they golfed, they would go out and actually practice golfing. They would actually go through the motions and visualize that to try and take themselves somewhere else. That's how powerful the mind is, right? And what happened was some of these people he followed that actually got out of there, and when they went back to the golf course, they hadn't lost any strokes. They were still golfing because they had literally were so focused on something that would take them out of where they're currently at, which is the power of the mind.
Mm-hmm.
And they could mm-hmm. they would practice the putt, and they would see it. They would practice the chip. They would practice the drive.
Hmm.
And he wrote that book in 9 days. It was a huge bestseller.
Huh.
If you want to work on mindset, that's a great book.
That's a great book to read. Yeah.
Hmm. Viktor Frankl.
Yep.
The meaning, no, the
man's search,
man's
for meaning.
Search for meaning. I got to write that down.
Yeah. Add it to your list, Dakota.
Yeah. I got nothing else to do.
I always say that I don't know that I can live long enough to read everything I want to read, because I always have this growing list and then new books come out, right? Yeah. And then there's books from 100 years ago still on my list. So it's like I'll never get, like, the list is just always growing.
Yeah.
Isn't it actually amazing that when you can read a book from 80 years ago and see the same problems, mm-hmm. social problems,
mm-hmm. yep.
frustrations?
Mm-hmm.
So
nothing's
it
new.
Shows you that we have developed over millions of years, but at the same time, we're still stuck in a certain area.
We're still working through certain things.
We forget
our past, therefore we're bound to repeat it.
Yeah. And what we ended up in the last half hour saying that we are so... There is so much information at our fingertips, literally, and we seem more uneducated.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
They're lowering the standards of the SAT in the high schools because they want more students to graduate. Mm. You have students who can barely really use math or language.
Dumbing Down of America, 1950. You want to read that one, too. The Dumbing Down of America.
Oh, yeah. Well, and we were talking about the hacking of the American mind.
Yeah, that one too.
Yeah, Dr. Yeah. Robert Lustig, who we discussed on the radio show a few years ago with Dr. Ed Dretz, Dumbing Down of the Mind. Okay, who wrote that one, Dan?
I can't remember.
Come on. Is it so dumbed down that you don't remember?
It's numb today.
Oh, numb today. All right. Okay. What is, let's, well, I tell you, we have 10 minutes left. Any topics specifically? Yes. Oh. We have a caller?
I think we have a caller.
And then I have a story I wanted to share.
Dan, on your list of things that you wanted to bring up, which is going to be another 3 hours, top five stressors you must address to get well.
You know, and that was going to be my story. So
see, I don't want you to get stressed.
Your timing is perfect.
You only have 9 minutes left. How are you going to get five stressors?
You know, and Dr. Phil had shared a story about a client, you know, earlier too, and what they went through. And
yeah.
And
this is echoing my head. What is wrong with your head?
Echoing. Yeah.
Really?
In there, yeah. Huh. Sounds weird. Anyways, it's stressing me, man.
Yeah, we don't want that.
He already has too many voices.
Hush. What? 9 years ago, I had a yoga instructor come to me, okay, and this goes into the stressors. Mm-hmm. She was diagnosed with chronic fatigue. She also suffered insomnia and headaches. She was 36 years old, impeccable diet, no over-the-counter or prescription medications, no surgeries. Mm-hmm. No childbearing scars like episiotomy or perineal tear or C-section. So she didn't have the standard things that we look for in that could be stressors. We did the evaluation, case history system survey, heart rate variability monitor to check autonomic nervous system status and stress, blocking, switching, the whole nine yards. Boom, it's very, very simple, very structured. When we did our evaluation, we found that she had scar tissue activity.
Oh.
And it was neurologically blocking her system. And
wow.
I said, well, where's the scar? And she goes, I don't have one. Which to that I said, if you have a belly button, I can probably help you. But if you don't have a belly button, I can't. So she's, oh, yeah, here, I got a belly button. But right above the belly button, about this far, about a quarter inch, was this little purple pink dot. And I said, what's that? And she says, oh, I forgot. Which is how most practitioners find out their most valuable information. Right? I can drag it out of people. Got to play Sherlock Holmes right here. Tell me that. And I said, what is that? She goes, oh, 4 years ago, me and three girlfriends were in Old Mexico, and to commemorate our adventure, we had piercings done.
Ah.
But I took it out like 2 years ago because it would hook on clothes, it would weep, it never felt right. You think that's it? I said, let's find out. Neurologically, it crashed her system. Neurologically, just crashed her system. Now, here's the cool thing. For a $6 bottle of wheat germ oil massaged in topically in some low-level light therapy, in less than 6 weeks, no more chronic fatigue, insomnia, headaches. That was 9 years ago. She wrote me a beautiful letter and has never had to return.
Huh.
I share that particular story and have hundreds more. But I share that particular story because this is one of those stress issues on the body, like open heart surgeries, thyroidectomies, splenectomies, right? The gallbladder and the appendix, the mm-hmm. open, you know, the C-section, episiotomy and perineal tears,
yeah.
right? For men, vasectomies and circumcision, right? These are scar tissue that neurologically can create huge interference on the nervous system's ability to perform. And it will manifest in other physical manifestations of lack of performance. Mm-hmm. And it's extremely easy to clear. You have to be consistent with it. But this is just one of many examples that I could give, and I know Dr. Phil and everyone else here could as well, of simple things that you can do to reduce major, major expression on the human body. And the other four are foods, metals, chemicals, and immune weakness. Now, there's a total of 17, but those are the top five. In other words,
scars, foods, metals,
chemicals, and immune system.
And how can the immune those system are the top be used? Five. Oh, yeah, okay.
Because if the presence of a bacteria or fungus and it's recurrent and it's repetitive, had another gal. She had 17 UTIs in 1 year, documented, 17. Wow. Here's what the problem was. Every time she'd go to the medical doctor, they'd give her antibiotics. Through a simple neurological evaluation, we determined that one kidney had a yeast problem and the other kidney had a bacteria. So every time they gave her the antibiotics, one side felt better and the other side flared up. And they were perpetuating the problem by their own approach.
Interesting.
So we address the right thing with the right in the right order with the right amount for the right amount of time, and she had never had one since, and that was like 6-7 years ago. So
wow.
So and this most people listen to this kind of stuff, our conversations, they eavesdrop on this stuff, right? They think, well, these guys, this is miracle stuff. No, this is by design. Right, this is, and it's not new. This stuff had been around for thousands of years. Yeah. Right, modern medicine's got four generations.
Yeah,
that's 109 years. This stuff, 215 generations of recorded history. Who's more qualified?
I see.
Right, in terms of chronic. Now, don't get me wrong. Emergency medical is amazing, right? We've had this discussion. You break an arm or want stitches, don't come to Dr. Fillerite because we're just going to say, oh, looks like you need to go get set or get a stitch, right?
And come back to fix the scar.
And, yeah, and then we'll come back and fix the scar and the adjustment problems of the trauma and all that other, right? And then we can help you.
Yeah.
So, you know, chronic illness care, I will finish with this and then I'll hush. Dr. Jeremy Caslow, who's on the International Foundation for Nutrition and Health, he's on the board. He's a medical doctor. Several years ago, he was quoted as saying that if God saw fit to let everybody wake up tomorrow morning with no food sensitivities, here's what would happen. People would leap out of bed. They'd feel refreshed, less aches and pains, mental clarity, focus, brain fog, awesome, right? Ready to hit the ground running. If he saw fit to let that last 7 days, 90% of the people sitting in hospitals would start getting up and unplugging themselves and walking out.
Okay.
And if it happened for 2 weeks, we'd have a pandemic collapse of the pharmaceutically driven model of disease care in the world, because 80% of all drugs dispensed are to treat the effects of malnutrition and starvation.
Yeah.
And that's the truth.
Hmm.
Okay, I'm off my soapbox.
No, that's a great great analogy. That's really fun. Wouldn't be something?
Yeah.
But we all have our own cross to bear, right? We all have our own path to walk. And so that is why so many of us, what works for one person doesn't work for the next person.
Right.
You know, we try so often to do what the neighbor did and not have the success, or a friend or a spouse. It's you got to be ready for it. It's very interesting. And it has become big business to come up with solutions, right? Boy.
Yeah.
Big business. Wow. So we're coming close. I want to, you know, this is so funny because we have agenda points that we want to discuss, and every one of them can take up 10, 15 minutes easily. We can spend a whole show on it. And now I'm sitting over here and said, what are we going to talk about? Because it is so, there is so much to discuss. I mean, Dr. Phil, let me ask you then. So what's the difference between muscle testing and applied kinesiology? Can you tell us that in two minutes?
No.
Have a nice weekend, everybody. We're out of here.
I'll give it my best shot, though. So
yeah, just a rough.
Yeah. So applied kinesiology is a system of diagnosis that looks at not just what a muscle is doing; it looks at how that muscle is functioning within the whole system. A muscle test, when you're just pushing on a muscle, is just that, pushing on a muscle. And it's what that muscle tells us with its response that can mean something. And we have to look at the whole person when we're doing muscle testing in order to really understand the purpose and the meaning behind what's actually happening. And if we don't do that, then it's just, you know, pushing on an arm. And that doesn't get you anywhere in health. And that's where muscle testing gets a bad name from. Yeah.
I see. No, that's where applied kinesiology gets a bad name from.
Yes.
Right? Because muscle testing, everybody thinks that you know what
you're
doing.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Huh.
Yeah. So muscle testing within applied kinesiology is much more of a just a diagnostic procedure, just like doing a reflex hammer test on a knee, or taking a temperature, or, you know, listening to a heart, or taking a blood pressure. It's just telling more of the story about what's happening within that person.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it is much deeper, more layers. Now, you were talking earlier about layers and how you unpeel the onion.
Sure.
Melissa was mentioning that. Is it so that you can go as deep as you want to go in one session to find out what the original problem is, or will you keep hitting the one that needs to be addressed first?
Well, what's happening is, as you walk into the practice, you're just a series of adaptations that have happened to you over your lifetime.
Correct.
So we have to look at what those adaptations are doing. So if you have high blood pressure because you're under stress, we need to, you know, understand that we need to bring those stressors down.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you walk in as that series of adaptations, what we do is unwind those adaptations as best we can to get you to your homeostasis, or your most optimal state of being for right now. And sometimes it can happen quickly, or sometimes it takes 2 or 3 years. But, you know, it's always that start of the process to get you going back to homeostasis and balance that's most important.
All right. Well, on that note, thanks for being here today.
I loved it. Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. Dr. Phil Cameron, Melissa Homner.
Thank you.
You bet. Becca.
Thank you.
Thanks for being here. Dr. Dan.
Always a pleasure.
Thanks for coming. See you next week, Saturday. Thanks for listening.